Dave.
Go ahead. What?
Wait, wake up. What? Wake up. We're live. We're live.
What?
We're on.
Where are
we're
we?
Ready to go.
Where are we?
We're live in the Channel 9 studio in Redmond.
We are?
Microsoft campus, yeah.
How did we get here?
Well, it's a long story that
I'm really so confused.
Yeah, so we're coming to you live from the Microsoft studio in Redmond, Washington, right? It's a great day. Building 20.
It is a great day.
Yeah.
It is a great day. I feel really refreshed.
I mean, yeah, I would too if I just took a nap like that. What were you dreaming about?
I was dreaming about these amazing Hyper-V servers.
Virtualization.
Mm-hmm. And so then I was dreaming about nested virtualization so that I could have even more Hyper-V servers.
So like Hyper-V on top of Hyper-V.
Uh-huh. And then Hyper-V on top of Hyper-V inside of Hyper-V.
Could you imagine trying to troubleshoot that?
That would be very difficult. So.
But if it was a home lab, that might be a great place for that.
It would. So we're here to live, all joking aside, because I've never been one to joke on camera. Interview with an MVP, live, for another session.
Another session, yeah.
We are here. I'm so lucky to be joined by my partner in crime, Clint.
We've done a lot of sessions over the last couple of days.
We have. And we've had a lot of fun. And before we get started with this next episode, which is going to be super cool, because we're going to be talking a little bit about home lab.
Yeah.
And about some of the things that you can do for, you know, building, you know, your own home lab. I have to give a super huge shout out to our support crew here at the Channel 9 Studios.
Yeah.
They are absolutely amazing.
They've and done a fantastic
without
job.
Without them, none of this would be possible. And you know what? They have done such a good job. Mm-hmm. Teaching us the audio-visual equipment that we're using here.
Right.
We haven't even had to do a retake.
This is all coming to you raw.
This is raw content for you. I know that's hard to believe because you're probably thinking that my head was over here and then it was over here and I'm spliced in. No, we're live. 100% live. So, tell me, Clint, about Home Lab and why this is important for learning getting your certifications and stuff.
Right. So yesterday we did a session, you know, about certifications. We talked about things of you know, staying current on what's new in technology. But, you know, a home lab is a great way for folks to maybe test things out and leverage technologies that they might not get a chance to use, like on a daily basis.
Yep. And I think that the new possibilities, because I've done home labs and testing for years. In mm-hmm. fact, this laptop that I have right here is my home lab.
Yeah,
my demo, my too. Presentation laptop. You know, as a speaker, we tend to do a lot, and we're always looking for new ways to improve
the
home lab because we have to show this off quite a bit. And one of the problems that we would always run into is showcasing certain scenarios. And so now with the new Windows 10 Insider Preview mm-hmm. and Microsoft, and thank you, Ben Armstrong, for finally releasing nested virtualization to us, it's very cool. But let's step back. What the heck is nested virtualization?
Yeah.
What is this thing, Clint?
So nested virtualization, Dave, it gives you the ability to run a hypervisor inside of another hypervisor.
Whoa.
Right? So, you know, if I have a physical bare metal Hyper-V host,
you can put one inside.
I can run multiple other Hyper-V
nodes. No. We could do that before.
No, you could.
You could. You just couldn't turn on any VMs.
Right.
So be careful what you say you can and can't do.
So the nested virtualization, right? So now I have my laptop or a server in my data center, and I can actually run VMs on top of that. So now I have more than one node, if you will. I can test Windows failover clustering. You know, if I wanted to build a VMM environment,
wow.
You know, if I wanted to test out, you know, scale out this file server.
I'm thinking maybe even like for a training center or something, that would be so powerful because you could take a larger server mm-hmm. and you could kind of compartmentalize all the student servers inside of there.
Sure.
And then they could all run their own individual Hyper-V instances without blowing up anybody else's.
Right. I mean, you always have to worry about the noisy neighbor problem, you know, where you've got all those Hyper-V nodes sharing the same infrastructure underneath, but it's a lab, right?
Yep.
You wouldn't run in a production environment like this, and that's not the, at least on a laptop, right? But one of the main use cases for Microsoft and nested virtualization is the Azure story, right? So being
yes.
able to run nested
very
virtualization
true, very true.
In Windows Server within Azure. And a great use case of that is, you know, we did a session yesterday on Nano, right? So being able to run a bunch of nano servers within Azure, nested virtualization, right? A lot of I know a lot of customers could take benefit of actually having raw access to the hypervisor, right? To do restore activities, replication, stuff like that.
Yeah, for me, one of the things that I can think about as a practical use case for that one with Azure and VM nesting would probably be using that as my primary DR site.
Yes.
So
yes.
I have a lot of customers actually really struggle with DR projects, and their biggest problem with DR projects is they really don't want to spend that additional money on hardware.
Right.
For virtual machines and for instances, they're just going to be sitting dormant.
Well, I mean, so they also have to take the cost of, you know, co-location, additional site. Yep.
Because in Azure, you don't pay much of anything, if anything, for VMs that aren't running.
Powered off, right. And yep. Ingress, there's no charge for ingress. There is charge for egress of data within Azure. But, you know, you talked about off-site DR. You know, there's best practice within DR, you know, the 3-2-1 rule, so three copies of my data on two different types of media, and one of those being off-site. You know, one of the things that folks struggle with is getting their data off-site, right? So being able to leverage Azure, you know, failover, failback type stuff, long-term archival on the cloud. I don't have to worry about, you know, having other sites and things like that. So
well, and both you and I are Veeam guys as well, so we understand a lot about the platform and the stack. And one of the big challenges for me in using Azure as my, you know, primary DR facilities is that I had limited options. So I could do some cloud backup options, stuff like that, but I couldn't actually fully provision Azure as my DR site, because one of the things that Veeam requires is it requires an agent to be installed on the Hyper-V host server. So now with nested virtualization, technically speaking, once that launches, we should actually be able to pilot and use that as a use case. So that's one of the things that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, not only enterprises will be able to take advantage of that, but also, you know, cloud service providers that can offer DR as a service within the cloud, and the cloud being Azure, right? Because they don't have to worry about, same things an enterprise doesn't want to have to worry about, managing a data center, power, heating, cooling. You know, one of the cool things that Microsoft does by default is they geographically separate and replicate your data around from data center to data center.
Yep.
So even though, you know, within your environment, you're practicing the 3-2-1 rule and getting your data offsite, Microsoft's doing the same thing within Azure to move your data from one, you know, location data center to, say, a different region, right? So US Central to US East or US West or even, you know, Europe. Yep.
So back to the home lab discussion, one of the things that that I wanted to kind of chat about here with you today, Clint, was the concept of, you know, studying for your certifications. And and this has nothing really technical related. It's just some tips from me from someone that's written a lot of exams. So the first tip that I have, and we can just maybe go back and forth, and these are just some common things. The first tip that I have is before you write an exam, get a good night's sleep and write your exams first thing early in the morning.
Okay.
Because you don't want to
fresh.
You want to be fresh going into those exams, because it can be a very, very stressful experience for somebody that hasn't written a lot of exams, and they can really emotionally work themselves up. And I've seen people actually fail exams that probably shouldn't have failed exams just because they were so stressed out before they actually went to go write it. So the second thing is, my personal advice to you, if you're going to go write that exam first thing in the morning, turn off your cell phone. Just shut it off. Turn yourself off to the outside world. Focus on writing that exam. You know, you've done all that work in your home lab to really prepare, and you've really pushed forward. You don't want to take the chance of, you know, wasting the money of having to go rewrite that exam for something that you're just not in a good emotional state. And it's funny, because I've been in MCT for many years and have had to guide and mentor people through writing exams. And that's one of the biggest hurdles that I found, is that people emotionally would work themselves up so much. I had one of my students that would actually have to go to the bathroom and kind of
before he gets nervous.
Oh yeah. And that's not that uncommon, actually.
One of the other ways that they could potentially, you know, work around this, maybe make the ease the comfort factor, right, is to make sure that you're leveraging the practice exams that are out there.
Yes. Right? So there's official practice exams that you can have, and go through and study those.
Absolutely.
Now, is it possible to overstudy practice exams?
Well, I think so, because then, you know, you get so used to the pre-trained questions that aren't necessarily the questions that Microsoft has written the exam for, right? So I think once you're comfortable with it, you know, you should just go take the test.
Yes.
Right? Let's get through, you know, studying the material, going through the blueprint, the white papers, all that type of stuff to make sure that I know what content I need to know. And as soon as you get through that and you've done the necessary studying and you're prepared, go take the exam.
Some people think that, you know, they have to pass those exams at a score of like 100% as a passing score, because they think that somebody's going to be looking at that actively saying, oh, wow, you passed all your exams with, you know, 100%. It doesn't really work like that in the IT career. We just normally look at a pass or fail on right. the exams. Because, like, for somebody like myself, I will actually go challenge cold a lot of beta exams. So when they come out, there's no practice exams out. There's loose guidelines around what the content are, and you know what? I've failed exams, and I'm not scared to admit
I've failed the same exam twice in the past.
I've failed several exams, and you know what? At the end of the day, I look at the amount of time and effort that I have to put in, and my justification for writing the beta exams. If I can get by that beta exam, that's one less exam that I have to, you know, go study super hard for.
Sure.
Because obviously, I knew enough of the content. And there, Microsoft's doing a really good job. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the community programs that are out there for the writing and the design of these exams. I'll get hit up probably 3-4 times a year to get asked to help prep questions and stuff like that for these exams. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of good industry experts that are out there trying to build the exams and make them a lot more realistic. I found that there's been a real transition from these just long-winded 2-page question exams, like the questions are like 2 pages long, and so by the time you're done reading that, your brain is like so fried you can barely move on to the next question, right? So I wanted to kind of have a bit of a conversational piece with you here today, Clint, about, you know, what the values are of that home lab and stuff. But what if you can't afford a nice laptop like this, because it's out of your price range, and you still want to continue on with, you know, your IT certification, regardless of kind of what vendor it is. Any recommendations for some online study materials?
So there's free material via the TechNet online labs, mm-hmm. but then there's also, you know, you can sign up and just take a small 30-day trial of Azure. I think Azure's a great place for folks to lab in, you know, spin up the power on the VMs whenever you want to do your testing, and then whenever you're done, make sure you power them off through the Azure portal. That way they're deallocated and you're not being charged for them. It's a relatively inexpensive way for folks to get access to stuff. Plus, you know, the nice things about Azure is that the platform is a service that it offers, so I can quickly and easily stand up, you know, application servers without having to worry about doing the installs of them, so like SQL Server, SharePoint, you know, apps like that.
Did you actually know, Clint, that with most of the, and don't quote me on this, folks, the MSDN and TechNet subscriptions that I've seen, they actually come with Azure credits.
Yeah.
Do you know how many of those Azure credits go unconsumed every single month with Microsoft? I don't know the number, but it's got to be something pretty profound. So if you have it sitting there and you already have an MSDN subscription at work, you know, either ask your boss or your IT manager or director if it's okay if you actually leverage those credits and, you know, use them. Yeah, well, and then you using them and kind of learning on them may maybe help benefit the business, because you'll be able to learn more about Azure too.
Yeah, not only do you learn Azure, but you can learn all the technologies that can run inside Azure.
For sure, absolutely. So anything else that you'd like to add on this amazing episode here at Microsoft head office, Clint?
No, I mean, I think it's great to chat about home labs. It's a great way for folks to get additional experience, study for certifications, and ultimately further their career. You know, it's fantastic stuff.
Awesome stuff. Well, Clint, thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Interview with an MVP. Dave Kula, remember, make sure that you check out our MVP Hour. It's hashtag MVP Hour. We run roughly every 2 weeks or so. It's a live Twitter chat with MVPs and experts from around the world. Ask us anything. We're here for you. We're here to help. And, you know, could be training, certification, home lab, technical stuff. Doesn't matter. We're here to help, and so really glad that you guys could join us here today.